This is a standalone message. I had Miracle of Grace or Beauty of Grace, growing unconditionally. And I want it to be encouraging that we're always growing. Sometimes that can be frustrating, or we may not think about it. We may think that I should be further along or whatever it may be. But at the same time, God knows exactly where we are and knows that we are growing by His grace. So I want you to see how the gospel makes enduring life worth it. During hardship, worth it. And I'm going to start with Joseph, in just at a time where he had already became second in charge in Egypt, and he had yet to meet his brothers. If you recall this, you've been familiar with church at all. Now he's naming his children, right? And I'm going to read this first before I want you to think about Joseph's life. In Genesis 41, 51, and 52, it says this: Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship in all my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, if you consider Joseph's life and everything involved with that, the pit, the false accuser of rape, him being left in jail for a few more years, even though he's innocent, it's a miracle he didn't walk away suicidal, hateful, and in his power, once he got power, take revenge on his brothers. Instead, he names his children after all of his hardship in honor of God's goodness in spite of his horrible conditions. Because many times, if you think about it, we don't wait to see or even think to believe that God can bring good out of horrible conditions. See, our heart can fix on ideal conditions where everything's comfortable and smooth just long enough to lose faith that God is faithful to work it for good. We're so busy wanting it to be ideal that we get frustrated and discouraged that God is not working it out how we think He should, and we forget to have our faith and relationship in God. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, and I think this is helpful for us when we start processing hardship. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, the passage is helping us not isolate our hardships as if it's unique to humanity. It may be unique to you, but people have been going through what you have been going through throughout time. So, because if you isolate it, it allows you to live in self-pity, as if this has only ever happened to you. And then you don't have the grace to seek God that you need to endure it. You eliminate yourself in thinking that God is there with you, that no one's went through this. And God is saying, yeah, people have gone through this before. Just come to me for it. And this is why it's good to have great fellowship, real fellowship, where you can introduce your struggles to people and not ideals people have, not ideals, your struggles. And then people come together and they can relate to that. They can relate to having a struggle in marriage. They can relate to having a struggle with kids. They can relate to school and going through tough things. Or if you're by yourself all the time, I love biographies. Because a lot of times I may not get the fellowship I need. I like to read about biographies because it helps me relate to people who have been through things. And you see them now. No one writes biographies for people who have failed, generally, right? They write biographies about people who have done something. And you start seeing in your life, and you look at them sometimes, you can think, well, how did they get there? And you start really reading about it, and all the struggles helps you understand yours are normal. Yours are normal. It doesn't isolate you to think that you're unique somehow because you're going through this. Now, that's not to be callous. It's just to help you not get in self-pity and stay there, but to endure by God's grace. Because think about Joseph. Had he focused on what is ideal more than a close relationship with God to direct his life, he would have fainted. It's not ideal for your brothers to throw you in a pit. It's not ideal to be accused of rape and then stay in jail for that long. And God not even move, seemingly, right? It's not ideal. But here it is. His relationship with God in Psalm 37:24 says this. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. So our steps are not established in our own way. God doesn't give grace to do our own thing, right? He says, though he fall, grace, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. That's grace to endure and not quit. You may fall, you may stumble, you may struggle, but you have grace to be picked up and endure. So once we embrace the reality of life's hardship in fellowship with Jesus, we will be made better by them. Joseph looked like a failure. If you would have met Joseph accused of rape in a pit, most church folk would have been like, what's wrong with you? You're not blessed. But he had an intimate relationship with God where he walked with God and he knew where he was with God. He knew. His steps were ordered by God. Grace enabled him to name his children like that. You go through all that stuff and then you get an opportunity to name your children, there'll probably be bitterness. I can't stand this. I can't stand that, right? Grace showed him that he named them after God's goodness and it had nothing to do with conditions. God made him for good if he stayed with him. So we have to remove the blockage from our hearts. And before I get into the parable of the soils, Jesus, in the same context, in this chapter, he's talking about why the religious folk of that time, the Pharisees and all that, could not hear the word of God that he was talking about in the parables. He talks about how. Now, I'm going to read this. He says this. Indeed, in their case, speaking of the Pharisees, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. I'm going to explain it. Jesus is informing them about their privilege as disciples, talking to his disciples, for them to understand the word. While others don't hear it, and hearing is the kind of hearing that affects change in your life. When you think about Romans 10, it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When it talks about hearing, it's talking about hearing that implies obedience. If you heard it, you will obey it, right? But the reason these people cannot hear the word is because they are dull of hearing, which means something is blocking them from understanding. Literally, that's what it means in the Greek, impervious. Something's blocking me. There's a barrier. So thinking about this, my wife's trying to talk to me, if I'm watching a sports center or whatever it may be, and I'm impervious to her talking or I can't hear it because something is what? Taking my priority to hear what she's actually saying. Think about your kids. You're yelling for them and you're thinking, I know they hear me. But, you know, something is blocking them from hearing. So the same thing can happen for us. You can hear sermon after sermon, read the Bible, do all these things. But if there is a blockage in your heart from understanding what you hear, you won't be fruitful. Because growing in God does not come from the volume of what you know, but what you understand and do. That's why it says don't be hearers of the word, doers, right? So just reading the word without having any understanding to do what you read is not fruitful. That's why it doesn't matter how many chapters you read. If you didn't understand any of it, you can stay on a verse and God speak to you for an hour and you understand it and you're fruitful from it because you're convicted to do what God is telling you to do. That's why Proverbs 4:7 says this, wisdom is the principal thing, chief thing. Therefore, get wisdom and in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding why a relationship is this way helps you function in it, right? And I think I got this from another preacher. He said this, understand. Think about the word understand. Truth you stand under. So I can talk about you need to forgive because God will forgive you, and you don't stand under that truth. I'm not forgiving them because that seems weak. I'm not forgiving them what they did. And you don't understand that the forgiveness part is for you. It's not about them. You don't understand why Jesus said, forgive your debts as we forgive our debtors, right? Because if you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive you. Because if you understand that, you would be like, I need forgiveness, God, so I need to forgive them, right? But because we don't understand it, we don't do it. So here's the barrier, number one barrier of the growth. No miraculous light from God in the parable of the soil. Matthew 13:18 says this, 18 and 19. He says, here's then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Now, Christianity doesn't make natural sense. And these are the people who may hear the word, come to church, you witness to them. Or they even come to church and stay in tradition and never change. And they dismiss it. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. Doesn't make sense. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. See, the gospel doesn't make natural sense, right? When you hear Pastor Ron talking about, I give my life sacrificially to a God I can't see and people I don't know, that will bring me the greatest joy imaginable. That sounds ridiculous. Without faith, right? That sounds ridiculous without real faith in God. Naturally, it makes sense for me to spend my time doing things that serve myself for my greatest pleasure. That's why Christianity takes a miracle, real miracle from God, for us to realize you can have everything naturally and be empty. Everything. And then the Bible talks about, even in here, we'll talk about it, deceitfulness of riches that chokes out the word. Because you can have everything and realize, you know, this is nothing. This is nothing. And just real quick example, Tom Brady talked about after he won the Super Bowl, he sat on the edge of his bed the night after and he said, there has to be something more than this. Isn't that something? Somebody who wins five Super Bowls or whatnot, he's still not content because naturally he knows this is empty, right? So what is our response to this kind of heart? Whether we're ministering to people in our lives who don't know Christ, and this seems like ridiculous to them. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7 says this. Apostle Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. That's so key. It should make us humble, period. But only God who gives the growth. So planting and watering is our responsibility to nurture the seed that God gives, right? But we cannot grow it. Those of you who've already raised children know. You can't change it, right? You can't change them. All you can do is expose them. Expose them to good seed. Expose them to the word. Expose them to certain things. But God must change them. God must change us, right? So we shouldn't be discouraged at our witnessing with other people and it's being dismissed. We should know our role and be faithful to it. And what's the faithfulness to it? Love unconditionally. That's what waters the word, the seed that gets planted in our hearts, in your children, and whoever, is that we keep just loving people. Just keep loving them. So instead of being upset with them not understanding, let's pray for them and continue to love them because that's how God loves us, right? We don't understand everything, but God just keeps on loving us. And then finally, the light shines on us, and we're like, whoa. And his love was continually raining on us to bring that growth and understanding. So God's goodness leads us to repentance. His love gave growth to the seed planted in our hearts from long ago. Think about that. And I had this, if anybody remember this in the 80s, I used to get invited all the time by this family in our neighborhood to go to church. Single mom, she had two kids, and they would always invite me to church. And I just didn't know nothing about church, and I was afraid of church and all this kind of stuff because my family didn't do church at all. But I remember going to this event. I think it was a Tacoma Gold. I was probably about 10 or 12. And it had these real muscular guys who used to break ice, right? Break ice blocks and all this kind of stuff. But at the end, they would give a message of the gospel. And I remember hearing about Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. I didn't understand it at all. But I believe that was a seed that God planted. And then when I got saved, I just started realizing, and then it all came to me like, wow, this is what they were talking about. And this is when I was 10, and I got saved at 22, and I was just like, wow, this is unbelievable, right? And it's that seed that God planted, but God gave the growth. That's what I want you to see. God gave the growth. So barrier number two. Barriers of growth. Conditional affection, no depth. My daughter said something in the car, and she's like, we were going to 7-Eleven, I think. She's like, Daddy, if you buy me this, I'll love you. I was like, well, so you only love me? She's six, right? So it makes sense. She's like, you only love me? I said, you only love me if you get me something? She's like, yeah. I said, and then she's like, no, I love you, but could you please give me this? So you can see how her love is conditional. There's no real depth because she's only six, right? Let's hopefully it changed, right? Matthew 13:20 says this. Here we go. He says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, that's key, immediately he falls. Now, this proves that standing for the sake of God and his word is not priority in this person. The priority is how well my life is going, or am I getting what I want, right? Because think about this. No one wants persecution or any trouble naturally. But think about this. So long as God is doing what makes life smooth for me, I stay faithful and committed. If trouble comes, I'll fall away. But this is what true worship asks. This is what true worship asks. Is God that way with you? Does he fall away when you're messing up? See, you might have a view of God like that. That's the problem. And no security. So if I sin, God doesn't love me anymore. That's not gospel. Right? So what is God doing when the persecutions arise? Teaching unconditional love. Is it about conditions or is it about a relationship? Right? This kind of heart is fickle, which means flimsy, not rooted or anchored in God's love. This kind of love never brings with it security or faithfulness, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Right? Think about God's love here. 2 Timothy 2:13. Paul talks about if we are faithless, he remains faithful, God, for he cannot deny himself. Think about the security that brings. And think about the insecurity it brings if someone loves you based on conditions. Because the conditions are constantly changing, right? So our security in God is based on his unconditional faithfulness to us, that he won't leave even if other people have left you. Think about that. Because most of our security about God has nothing to do with him, but what other people's unfaithfulness has done. And God has to heal us and unravel the pain that has happened to us to get us to trust him like, I'm not like whoever did that to you. So God wants us always rooted in his love. Always rooted in his love. That conditions of any kind can't cause us to fall away from him. Here's Paul's prayer in Ephesians 17 through 19. This is a prayer that he has for the saints. And this is key. He says this, and I'm just picking it up in the middle, but he says, so that the Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend, understand, with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. See, think about the reason why someone can walk away and be fickle or flimsy in their love when conditions go bad is because they have no depth. And we all started there. Or we all might be still be there. But the point is to get depth. Because if you think about God's love, it doesn't change. That's why he said the prayer was, I want you to know the height, the breadth, and the depth of my love that surpasses knowledge. Like, for example, if you had a great parent and they raised you and you didn't understand how they made it and they did sacrifices and all that, and you didn't come to realize that till you're about 25, 30 years old. It was surpassing your knowledge of what love was. And the depth of it. So once you realize the depth, what'd you do? Hopefully you got thankful and grateful and actually told them, thank you for loving me like that. Because now I understand the sacrifices you had for me. And that's what God's praying for us. So think about this. Many times the fickleness comes with conditions and we're wanting it a certain way. And Jesus says in Matthew 15 and 13, people who were always trying to uphold some tradition over his word when he would confront them, he answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up or fall away, prove not to be real. So he's saying, if we don't stay with God during hardships, we prove our depth is never there. That's what he's saying about the soul. About the soil. The depth of the gospel, the truth of the word, conversion was never really genuine because you were just using someone to get what you want. See, that's why people can jump from different religions. This one didn't work. This one didn't work. Islam didn't work. Christianity didn't work. All these things didn't work because there's no real commitment or depth or any real conversion at all in Christ. And think about the insecurity it would have in a relationship when you feel like you have to leave when things get bad. You know what it says? I'm exchangeable. So whoever will give me what I want, that's who I'm going to have. That's no depth. That's not real love. And that's not the kind of love God is saying needs to be built into us as we grow, as we grow. So the last one, barriers to growth, number three. What focus is overthrowing our faith? Matthew 13, 22. What focus is overthrowing our faith? As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, in Matthew 13, 7, He was just pointing out what he was talking about the word. So he says this, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Now, I want you to see how the thorns grew up. They just grew up, right? So what chokes the word comes down to what we focus on and let grow. And what we believe is going to make things right or better. So, because you can have legitimate cares, right? All of us have legitimate cares. And then the deceitfulness of riches is this, that if I had more money, things would be better. But remember, God is talking about fruit, your character. So if you are who you are right now and you win $1 million, does that change your patience? Does that change you being more kind? We like to think like that. Like, I would probably give more money to the homeless if I had $1 million. No, that's your character. You probably keep it and be like, well, I need to buy this house for $999,000. You know? So God is saying, I'm working on your character, your fruit. So I want you to think about when he talks about the thorns, and I was just doing my yard yesterday, cutting the grass. You don't have to water weeds, right? I mean, they're just all over the place. I cut it every 2 weeks, but I just can't keep up. They're all over the place because they're just trying to overthrow my yard, my grass, right? If they're not treated. So Jesus is explaining the cares of life and the deceitful need for riches grow without you watering it. It's the air we breathe in society. You're going to just keep having cares, right? Life doesn't stop. Children get older. We get older. We get sicker. Whatever it may be, cares happen, right? And God knows this. All of us, anyone you know, has cares trying to overtake their life. But look at Luke 12:25. And this is, and I know this is difficult, but I'm making a point here. He says this, Jesus. He says, which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? So he's saying, if you can do nothing about a situation and know that, but keep worrying, do you have any faith? Notice he's asking, if you added an hour to your life, would that change anything? Even if you could do that, would that change anything? Oh, I've just got an hour to worry more. So he's saying, if you can't change anything with that, then you're hopeless without faith, right? But what ends up growing when we focus on God is our faith. What grows if we just worry or think more money answers life is anxiety. Think about that. If we have lived plagued with anxiety or with the answer to life being money, how can we say we have real faith? I'm not saying that doesn't come in our head. It's obvious it's there, that it can come and choke the word. So it can be there, but are we combating it? What are we focusing on? Are we really seeking the kingdom? Because a worry and a desire for riches choke out the focus on Jesus and the word. It chokes it out completely. Psalm 86:11 says this, teach me your way. This is David. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And I always say this about myself, and I always say to my kids, you only got one heart. It can't be all over the place. It's focused somewhere. So that's why God gets on, you can't serve God and money. You'll love one and hate the other. So if I love money and Jesus is like, give up the money, he's saying you'll hate me. Because he's saying you only have one heart, one focus. And God and David saying, unite my heart to you, Lord, that I can fear your name. That should be our prayer. Because so many things are coming in to try and choke the word. Choke the word. And so it would be unfruitful. I'm going to conclude with this. Real faith can't help but grow. This is the last verse. Real faith can't help but grow. Even if it's on a slow continuum, you're wondering, man, have I really changed? Anybody had that before? It can't help but grow by God's grace. Matthew 13:23 says this. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. Notice how everyone's fruit isn't the same. Right? Everyone's fruit isn't the same. There's no reason being jealous of somebody because they're more influential than you. Right? So here, God starts, think about good soil. God starts with the heart. As good soil. Because the heart is either receptive to God or hostile to God. Right? But God is the one responsible to change the heart. That's the miracle of grace. God is the one responsible. So think about what we said, understand. If you refuse to stand under the word, your heart is hostile to God. You can be in church and it can, a conviction of the word, you could be reading at home. And if you refuse to stand under that word, you will not be fruitful. That's why you can be saved a long time and never grow. Because you're hostile to God. The word doesn't sit there. It doesn't change what you have held on to believe in over God and his word. Now we all have, that's why it's growing on a continuum. We all have things that need to change, that we're holding on to that are in rival with God's word. That's what growth and grace is. That's why God is so patient and loving and compassionate. But if you are not honest with yourself and saying, you know what? I believe this and God is saying that. And I'm going to hold on to that. God says, you're hostile towards me. So the heart is something we have to focus on and guard because we can't fix what's outside of us. We can only live atop of it by faith. Think about when Peter walked on the water. The only way he was living on top of it is he was focused on Jesus. And the moment he saw the conditions and worried about what was in the air and all that kind of stuff, he sank. That's what God's saying about choking in the word. And that's what he's saying about living with a heart that's, it doesn't mean people are not going through things. They just live on the top of it because they are obedient to God's word and letting grace carry them through whatever storm it is. So the miracle of grace is that we can live with all these conditions that threaten our heart and be made better from it. You could be made better from it. So when you see someone and you're looking at them, you may be jealous that they're not struggling in pain or whatever it may be that you may be struggling from. Instead of thinking, oh, and discredit maybe what they went through, maybe you should look at it as maybe they went through a lot and they focused on God and got through it. Right? See, that's where the testimony comes in. That's where the fellowship comes in. And that's where God gets honored and glory over just competing. Because everybody in here has trials and conditions that are trying to take them away. Everybody in here. And it has to be made down to what God is doing, not so much what you're doing, because you can't control that. There'll be something in your life, if it hasn't already, that you cannot control. So Joseph had conditions that would give him every reason to have a bitter heart. But grace kept him from resting in conditions and what he should get from people. But rest in God. Think about this. Joseph, all those things, think about his conditions. But then the other part of bitterness is you're thinking of what you should have got from people. What I should have got from my parents. What I should have got from my spouse, my kids, or whatever it is, my teacher, my coach. And you hold on to something that God is saying, yes, it happened. Why won't you let me make you better from it? That's real faith. That's what Joseph, that's the story of Joseph. That's what God's trying to get through to us, is that it has nothing to do with conditions. That I've overcome the world. Right? That's why faith gives you more security than anybody and anything. And that's why he said, don't serve money like that. Because at the end of the day, money can fail you. Anybody can fail you. And I'll close with this. God cares about our heart more than our conditions. Now, that may be hard to swallow because you might have horrible conditions. What I'm saying, it doesn't mean that God can't change and he doesn't want to change things that are going haywire in your life. But I do believe he doesn't want us focused on things that can change in a moment. Right? Because that's sinking sand. Insecurity. Why would God want us insecure in life? I think God does like that. If he does with me, I'm sure he does with you. He says, I'm not changing that until you change. Because then when you change, you realize you don't really need it to change. You're over top of it now. You've grown over that. You're not even complaining about that no more. You just let it be because you're growing in grace. Amen? Let's pray.